Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, April 2nd, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Botswana tightens screws on Zimbabweans living in that country.
If you have a neighbor like Zimbabwe and the situation is affecting you, you have to take some further steps to make sure that you protect your own interests and your own people.
Zimbabweans say the country should identify perpetrators of political violence.
We have to deal with injustices which were committed after the war of liberation. Now, we are also silenced in many ways by some of the things that happened even after our war of liberation.
And as usual, we will focus on women's issues. Stay tuned. Recent developments increasingly point to a Botswana government growing weary of the economic meltdown in Zimbabwe. From the recently introduced shoot to kill stray Zimbabwean cattle to suggesting Zimbabwe prison inmates should serve terms in their own country, Botswana's agitation is coming to the fore, as our correspondent Martin Ngwenya reports.
Botswana has always maintained cordial relations with Zimbabwe despite bearing the burden of an influx of illegal immigrants from its neighbor. An estimated 1,000 Zimbabweans cross into Botswana daily for shopping, but critically to look for jobs which have proved elusive in their homeland. With the economic slowdown in Zimbabwe showing no signs of abating, Botswana is fast showing signs of agitation. Botswana recently announced that it would shoot to kill stray Zimbabwean cattle as it fights the resurfacing foot and mouth disease which has persisted over the years. The spread of the disease is blamed on illegal immigrants who cut the fence along the country's two borders, thereby allowing animals to roam free. Other immigrants illegally cross with fruits and vegetables for resale, in the process carrying across the fruit fly, which causes crop diseases. Botswana has suggested that the more than 500 Zimbabweans incarcerated at these various prisons should be sent back to their homeland to serve the remainder of their sentences. Political commentator Tato Giring says Botswana is being affected by the meltdown in Zimbabwe.
Botswana is getting affected because of the situation in Zimbabwe. And now they are tightening up their chairs with the shoot to kill, the recent illegal immigrants crisis, and lately the foot and mouth outbreak. The same situation is so affecting Botswana, that's why they are tightening the situation.
He argues that the moves taken by Botswana are in the interest of its citizens.
It's understandable what Botswana is doing at the moment, because if you have a neighbor like Zimbabwe and the situation is affecting you, you have to take some further steps to make sure that you protect your own interests and your own people.
Zimbabwean Mr. Clement Zibanani feels as long as the situation in his country persists, the challenges will remain, arguing the solution lies within Zimbabwe.
This is a sign of frustration that Zimbabwe is really taking too long to resolve its economic challenges. And there are, you know, spillovers into the neighboring countries, which really are not really good for the region. It will be in the interest of the country to move fast in resolving issues that are of an economic nature that are actually making other countries feel the serious challenges.
His fellow countryman Farais Banda says it is unfortunate that it is the ordinary people who feel the pinch, but believes it's a clear message to the Harare authorities to clean up their mess, which is now affecting neighboring countries.
It's unfortunate that the situation in Botswana is getting a bit tighter, especially on individuals. But it comes back again to the issue that Zimbabwe as a country should be addressing this issue on a formal note as to why the economic structure and political situations taking place the way it is at the moment.
At times, Botswana has been the lone critical voice, particularly at Southern African Development Community meetings, with President Ian Khama praised for his candid views. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Martin Ngwenya in Gaborone, Botswana.
While the government of Zimbabwe failed to pay doctors and nurses their 2015 bonuses on Thursday, it was put on with payouts to police on Friday. Health workers will now get their bonuses next Thursday, while teachers and other civil servants will get theirs on April 30th, according to Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa. The failure to pay doctors and nurses comes at a time when a shortage of doctors has forced Mpilo and Harare Central Hospitals to shut down their outpatient departments. Opposition People's Democratic Party Deputy President Sam Sipepa Nkomo tells a reporter Ntungavini Nkomo that the failure to address the doctor's situation clearly shows that the ZANU-PF government is in trouble.
There is no shortage of doctors in Zimbabwe. We have so many doctors. The output from our institutions is quite good. The only shortage is the policy deficiencies of Robert Gabriel Mugabe and the ZANU-PF. In fact, that they can't even take care to make sure that people have proper contracts and the people are employed properly, people are paid properly. That's our biggest problem. The biggest problem in Zimbabwe is not the drought, because the drought would have been planned for and managed. It's not the health, it's not the closing of our patients, because there would be no such thing if there was a government that cared for its people.
Yesterday, the government failed to pay nurses and doctors their 2015 bonuses. But today it managed to pay police theirs. Is this a case of misplaced priorities or nothing amiss?
First of all, this government has no money. They are broke. This government is broke. Even when the government is broke, Mugabe will still fly away and take millions of dollars. But they just don't have money.
Opposition People's Democratic Party Deputy President Sam Sipepa Nkomo on the line with reporter Ntungavini Nkomo from Harare.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This month we are commemorating Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary. The 18th of April, 1980. What are your memories of that moment? And what about 36 years later? Share your thoughts with us by sending us a voice recording on our WhatsApp number 001-202-465-0318. The number again is 001-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook and Twitter.
Some Zimbabweans who recently attended a national healing meeting convened by Heal Zimbabwe say perpetrators of violence need to apologize to victims so that there can be peace in the nation. They also say the Peace and Reconciliation Commission is a toothless organization. Our correspondent Patricia Mutatigwa has more in this second edition of a two-part series on peace and reconciliation.
According to Professor Rudoga Idzanwa, impunity given to perpetrators of violence is what has resulted in the continuous violation of some citizens by others.
We have to deal with injustices which were committed after the War of Liberation. Now, we are also silenced in many ways by some of the things that happened even after our War of Liberation. We know about the 5th Brigade, right? And it's one of the silences that we are also going to have to deal with. It's not surprising that Bukura Hundi took place, precisely because we have had a very long history of impunities historically. We had impunities where people who didn't participate in strikes would be punished. We had impunities where people who didn't collaborate would be beaten. We had impunities where those who did collaborate were killed and so forth. So really, we have a lot of issues that we need to deal with. And of course, after Gugura Hundi, we also didn't ever deal with the truth.
Constitutional law expert Professor Love Momaduku blamed the Constitution for failure to effectively provide for a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. He said, if the Constitution does not work, even the law to operationalize the commission will not work. He said, the National Peace and Reconciliation Bill also has some sections that are ultra vires the Constitution.
You cannot get from this bill that which you lost from this Constitution. That's the truth. If you lost something here and you put it here, it ties your hands. All what this thing can do is to try and make the Constitution work. But if the Constitution itself does not work, do not expect the bill to work.
Section 251 of the Constitution provides for the creation of the NPRC, whose chairperson and 8 other members should be appointed by the President after consultations with the Judicial Services Commission and Parliament's Committee on Standing Rules and Orders. The commissioners have already been appointed, and former Speaker of Parliament, Cyril Ndebele, leads the commission. The bill to operationalize the commission has passed through Parliament's first reading. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A Vietnamese court convicted and sentenced Nguyen Hu Vinh and his colleague, Nguyen Thi Minh Thieu, on March 23rd under Article 258 of the Penal Code for allegedly abusing the rights to freedom and democracy to infringe upon the interests of the state. Nguyen Hu Vinh, also known as An Ba Sam, was sentenced to 5 years in prison. Nguyen Thi Minh Thieu was given a 3-year sentence. Both have been in custody since May 2014. Nguyen Hu Vinh, a former police officer and party member, started the blog An Ba Sam in 2007, publishing articles and commentaries on Vietnamese political, social, economic, and cultural issues. In a statement released March 23rd, the United States Embassy in Vietnam said the U.S. is deeply concerned by the Vietnamese government's conviction and the sentencing of the bloggers, noting that the use of criminal provisions by Vietnamese authorities to penalize individuals peacefully exercising their right to freedom of expression is disturbing. These convictions appear to be inconsistent with the right to freedom of expression and freedom of the press provided for in Vietnam's constitution and with Vietnam's obligations under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and other international commitments. The United States calls on the government of Vietnam to release unconditionally these two individuals, as well as other prisoners of conscience, and allow all Vietnamese to express their views peacefully without fear of retribution.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we're gladly joined by Tariro Tandi, a lawyer who is working with the Zimbabwe Women's Lawyers Association. Tariro Tandi is one of the young Zimbabweans who was selected for the 2016 Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young Leaders to be a fellow, and she will be traveling to Washington in June. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Tariro. We understand you're one of the lucky Zimbabweans that were selected to be on the YALI 2016. Tell us about this. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Tariro Tandi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tariro, you were one of the lucky young Zimbabweans who were chosen to be part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young Leaders for this year. Tell us about that.
It's actually a great pleasure for me to have been selected as one of the fellows that is going to represent Zimbabwe. It really came as an excitement because I've really been hoping and wishing for this opportunity to come my way. And it's actually a blessing for me because I think I'm going to learn a lot from this experience, learning from other African leaders in a way that will make me become a better leader, even sharpen my leadership skills, and then come back home and practice everything that I will have learned in a way that benefits Zimbabwean women and children.
Tell us about your work. You are a lawyer and you're with the Zimbabwe Women's Lawyers Association. Tell us a little bit about that. How does it help women, especially?
Zimbabwe Women Lawyers Association is an organization that ensures that women and children are able to access justice. So what WALA does is that it has lawyers who provide legal services for free without asking for any payment from women and children, knowing that women in most instances do not have the financial capacity to be able to pay for a lawyer, or at times they do not even have the know-how of what the law says, what their rights are.
What made you to decide to go into this line of work?
Most of the experiences that I had when I was growing up in, you know, rural Zimbabwe, growing up as a girl, maturing into a woman, and all the challenges that I faced, that I saw even my mom facing as I was growing up. I always say I think I was a feminist even when I was really young, because that's where I experienced a lot of things that I was able to say, this is something that is not right necessarily. So the experiences that I had made me look at working towards the cause of ensuring that women and children's rights are protected and promoted from an early age.
Can you share what some of these experiences were that touched you so much that you decided that you were going to go into law and help other women?
Some of my experiences were that my mother was disinherited when my father died. We didn't benefit anything from my father, so we were left to live as paupers when my father was a businessman. And then I was also read as I was growing up, and that has always had an impact on me, because that's when I realized that society was very cruel and harsh towards women and children. And that is what made me look at myself and decide that I need to ensure that in my adult life, I work towards ensuring that the rights of women and children are protected and promoted.
Tariro, but you haven't let your challenges bring you down. We see that you have been on a journey of weight loss, and also you just competed in the Two Oceans Marathon in Cape Town. Tell us about that. What made you decide to take that route?
You know, I never used to run, Marvin. I remember even when I started my weight loss journey, my trainer used to ask me to run one round. That's like 400 meters. I just would not be able to do it. I would cry and cry and cry. But now I've actually found so much solace from running. And running the Two Oceans Marathon, I was sick. Everyone back home really thought, this one is stubborn. She's just going to Cape Town, but she's not going to be able to run. So I did run. I gave it my all. It was such an emotional process. And after getting my medal, getting hold of it, I actually felt like, yes, Tari, you've done it.
Time is not on our side. Thank you, Tariro Tandi of the Zimbabwe Women's Lawyers Association, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Join me again next week when I'll be looking at other issues affecting women.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a good weekend.
Vajaya Soletu, Vajaya Sokisu, Vajaya.
The music of Thomas Mafumo coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap today's top stories. Botswana has tightened screws on Zimbabweans living in that country. And Zimbabweans say the country should identify perpetrators of political violence. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gandhi. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.